Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Shall we bow our head and just talk to the Lord? Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you, Lord. The word of our mouth is what the Lord laid on my heart today to speak on. It's much more serious. Much more serious than the part that my brother said where it's just that what we can claim. But it's much more serious as far as God is concerned. That is why he has laid it upon my heart to just talk on this. Let's start from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Amen. It's going to be like a teaching rather than a preaching, so that we can go through the word of God quickly and see how the Lord is going to guide us and build on this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. I say the word of our mouth. God takes this is something that is much more serious for our own good. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life. 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And he that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise the Lord. So when God said what we speak out of our mouth is just as dangerous to our own body, for we that are speaking it out. He said life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise ye the Lord. So that is what I want to talk about today. We can go to the book of James and just go through and see what James said about the words of our mouth. You know, in the last few sermons we have been preaching in this church, we have been talking about changing from glory unto glory. Because that is the plan of God. He's trying to bring us to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Now you may say, changing, internal change is what we're talking about. The change that God has in mind is to bring us to that total surrender to Jesus. Total yieldedness to God. Total submissiveness to Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of the important things we need, is to change our way of speaking and what we speak out. And here is what Apostle James wrote in chapter 1, chapter 3, verse, "Well, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to breathe through the whole body." So it's in the words of our mouth we offend, even offending God also in the word of our mouth. That's why it's very important for us to watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen? Amen. Praise to the Lord. So when the Bible said the power of the tongue, it said life and death is right in the mouth. We need to watch it very carefully. Let me go through some few examples, because I love, in my sermons, I love to give stories. Because I look through the story, the life, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he actually gave parables because it kind of, many people will remember the stories, and then later they can remember the moral of the story. And let me go through some few story examples of the mouth, how the mouth can be a snare for human beings. What comes out of our mouth can start wars, even in between nations and nations. From the Bible, we see from the examples from the Bible. So what comes out of our mouth can be a snare for your soul, like what our brother was just talking about, where you confess the deadly disease and can be a snare for you. So you better speak positively. So that is the example we are talking about. Here is 2 Kings chapter 7. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 7, and I will talk about a king in the days of Elisha the prophet. If you don't know the story, you can go through that chapter yourself and just read the story of, there was famine in Samaria because the Syrian army, they surrounded the city of Samaria for almost 2 years, and until there was no more food left in the city, and people were already eating themselves. That was how devastated they were. But Elisha the prophet was also in the city praying for them. And we come to the last day when God was going to work miracle. Things were so bad. People were already eating one another. And the king sent a messenger to Elisha that looked like when the king heard that people were already eating one another, the king thought, it is God that is judging us. Why are we waiting on God? The king was so desperate. He said, if God is doing this to us, why are we waiting that God is going to do a miracle? So he sent messenger to Elisha. He said, go get rid of the prophets. And Elisha had a word for them because that was the last day before the miracle will happen. But the story we are talking about is the word of our mouth that is very serious, that God wanted to take very careful thought about what you say. It could be because, let me say this in a way. Most of the time we say good things, not that nobody wants to say bad things. Nobody wants to speak about doubt, but situations, circumstances, your feeling, you are hurt, you are afraid. That is what people respond to when they say what we should do, they shouldn't have said. So that is what you have to watch out for. David the king had a word for us in that. He said, I will set a watch over my mouth when the wicked is before me. What's the wicked? The Satan, when the devil is around, then you are already aggravated, you are already angry, or afraid, or zeal, or anxious. Something is happening about you. That is when you want to keep your mouth shut. Because that is when evil words can come out. When you see things are not going right, and you money is going down, and sicknesses are there, everything is going worse, you don't want to say anything bad. That is when David said, I will keep a watch over my mouth. Because that is when you can hurry. Very important. But when things are going good, not too many people will say bad stuff. So what we are reading in this story of Elisha, like I just described the scenario, you can go ahead and read it yourself. Things were bad. People were already eating themselves. And then the king came before Elisha, the prophet. He came with one of his second in command. He said, a law that he always leaned on. The right-hand man of the king. They both came to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha has a word for them. He said, by this time tomorrow, wheat will be sold at the gate for just a penny, so to speak. Let's read it. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. From verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus hear the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. So now, that was a prophecy. But the word of the mouth of this man that was going to respond to Elisha the prophet is what I'm trying to point to you. Because when God said life or death and life is in the power of the tongue, we want to wash our tongue. Wash what we say out in response to our feeling. Not just in response to the prophet, it's not a prophet, that's why I say that. That's not in response to your feeling. Because God is listening. The Bible says something, it said, when saints gather together and they speak one to another, what does the Bible say? A book of remembrance is open in heaven, which means God is listening to what you are saying one to another. Well, you say, well, it's not a saint. I can see whatever I like. No, praise the Lord. Because you are a saint. If you say you are a saint, you are called to be a saint. So then don't let the word of your mouth ensnare you. Here is a Lord on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He just doubted what the prophet said and also said it out to him, to the prophet. And the prophet answered him, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Now, you know the old story, if you have been familiar with the Bible, this man that Elisha just put a word upon him that, hey, well, you will see with your eyes, but you won't eat it with your own mouth. That man saw it because when the second day happened and they heard that there was food because the soldiers, the enemy, have fled. And these people have discovered that the enemy has fled and they went to ransack the camps of the enemy and they got all the food. This second in command to the king was made to be in charge of the gate so that everything can be in order. But because of the crowd, he was mobbed. And they trampled him to death. He saw it with his eyes, but did not eat with his mouth. Why? Because a curse has already been placed upon him. A snare by his own mouth. That is one example of why the word of our mouth is very careful, serious, delicate. We have to wash it. Amen? Are you with me thus far? So I'm trying to bring this in a storytelling before I go to so many Bible verses on the other side of this chapter or story that will tell us that, hey, the Bible have a lot to say about the words of our mouth. What you confess for yourself is good. Yeah, I will prosper. That's just things. But it can also be dangerous if you say the other side with your mouth. It can be just as bad. That's another story. I say it can even start wars. The word of your mouth can start wars. Say, well, I can't start a war. I'm just a nobody in this country. I can say whatever I like to say. No, don't say that. The words of your mouth can even bring blessings to a whole nation or to other people. So you can go. I can go through many examples. Let me give you this other example here. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Let's go to that. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Remember, we are talking about the word of our mouth. Because all these stories I'm pointing out, you can preach other things from these same stories. But I'm only just talking about the words of our mouth, how they can help us, they can start wars, they can cause snares. The word of our mouth. 2 Samuel chapter 10. This is the story of David the king, but this is not about David. This is about the king of Ammon, the Ammonites. From verse 1, it said, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. Now, I'm going to just paraphrase what went on in this story again. That was this the story. There was another country there where David knew the king over there, and David was a great warrior, so he has conquered many countries, and that country also were more or less subject to him. But now there was this king of that country died, and David said, oh, I'm going to be nice to his son. So David sent people to comfort the son of that king, who is now the new king. Now, watch what happened in this story. The servants of this king on that side wanted to give counsel. Counsel. What is counseling? It's words of your mouth. That's how you counsel somebody. Not so. So watch what you say to people when you are counseling them also. Amen? Because you're going to be held responsible. In fact, the Bible said, Lord Jesus Christ said, every idle word that a man will speak, he shall give account of it in the last day. Every idle word. How much more? Counseling words. So if you don't know what to counsel, keep your mouth shut. Amen? Here are these people, they wanted to counsel their king about these servants of David that just came. And this is what they told him. And the prince, verse 3, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he has sent comforters unto thee? Has not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? In fact, they read bad meaning to these visitors. And that sometimes you don't want to jump to conclusion. Even if you jump to conclusion in your mind, keep it in your mind. Sometimes when you say it, that's when you err. Because that's what's happening here. If they suspect something and they just kept their mouth shut and let those people come in, the suspicious, you know, you can have visitors. You are not sure. Maybe they are good guys or not bad guys. You just keep your mouth shut, but you are watching. And they came and they left. Nothing happened. You say, thank God, nothing happened. But suppose you accuse them. And that's what happened in this story. Because it can happen in your own household. It can happen within you. It's when you open your mouth and say something, that's when you start a shame reaction. Amen? Because I have a sermon where I talk about shame reaction. It's in line with this story. You start a shame reaction from what you say also. And this is what they said to their king, that, hey, these men have not come to just comfort you. They were spies. And because of what he heard, so he arrested those men, cut off their clothes, make them shameful, and then send them away. Almost like make fool of them. And when King David heard that this is how he treated, now that's war. War just started. You can start a war by the words of your mouth. You can start war by the words of your mouth. Praise the Lord. So when the Bible said death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have to watch what we say. Many women, many mothers will speak harsh words to their children that crush their soul for years. Many parents will do that. So you've got to watch what you are saying. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me give another story here. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now, I'm going to also make this so spiritual that you will be almost scared. Let me make it a little bit spiritual so that you, if you take it seriously, that you will fear God. That's this third one I'm going to talk about. I want you to fear God. That is, sometimes, I've said it in many corners, I said, sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. You don't know what comes upon you. That is what I mean, the force that is moving us. This is what you will see in this story of David. Because that is when sometimes you say this thing, you don't know that it's not coming from you. It's coming from another spirit that just came and attacked. That's why I say you don't know the force that is moving us. But if you have a gag on your mouth all the time, some of those spirits can tell, this one won't speak. They will avoid you. I was in a dream one day, in a trance many times ago. Many years ago, I was still in college in Nigeria then. And I was fasting and I was I just slept down under a bush. And I saw two spirits came. Let's go give them some words, maybe some doctrine, maybe false doctrine. Those spirits just came. They wanted to give false doctrine. They saw this one. They said, this one won't talk. They said, this one won't talk. And I said, let's go to somebody else. Then I got a message that I got understanding. They are looking for mouths that can run. Or people that will always run to want to say something. And they will give you something to say. But what they will give you to say may be bad, evil, lies, false doctrine. But they are looking for easy prey. People that can't control their mouth. So that's why I said, sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. And when you think you got it all right, and you think, well, this must be, I must say it as I feel, if something comes upon you, sometimes it may not be from the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to give you two examples of that. Even in the pride in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, you know the story of Peter, Apostle Peter. He just gave a good testimony about Jesus. He said, whom do men say that I am? Everybody said, oh, they said you are Elijah. They said you are this. But whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, well done. Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father has revealed to you. Uh-oh, Satan just got that. Peter is the man. See, Peter ran quickly behind the back of Peter. Rex next to, immediately after that, Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them he's going to go to the cross. Satan ran quickly, put a word in the mouth of Peter. Peter is the man. He's the man right now. Peter didn't know what force is moving him. He just started rebuking Jesus. You see it in the story. It's in Matthew. He said, that will not happen to you, my Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. I'll come back to 2 Samuel in a moment, but I digress to Matthew because that of 2 Samuel is in similar fashion. You do not know the force that is moving you sometimes. But if you have a gag upon your mouth, most of the time, the devil knows he may not be able to make you speak because you suppress what's coming out in your mind. You can suppress it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23 is the one I just talked about, Peter. Then Peter took him after the Lord told him about he is going to the cross in the verse 21. And that was just after the fact that Peter has just testified that you are the Messiah, the Christ, in the earlier verses. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Well, why do you think this one, what he said was so serious? Well, what he meant was that, hey, trying to correct the Lord Jesus, was trying to correct him. Oh, speak positive for yourself, Master. Speak positive. Like that's another way some people may say, this won't happen to you. This is negative. Oh, don't be. And Christ looked back and said, gee, that's not from the Spirit of God. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Which means Satan has snaked behind Peter. Satan speaking, not Peter. Sometimes we don't know the force that is moving us. But if you gag your mouth, the devil will say, I can't make this one false. Make one talk, he will move away. So that's an example of how the mouth can be a snare to people. The same in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 to 4 that we're just about to read. Here is the story of King David And we all know how David was so mightily used by God. But here is something that happened. Exactly according to what Apostle James was telling us, that we masters, we are going to have greater condemnation. What do you mean masters? People that stand up here and try to teach. Or rulers. David was a king. Or he can say this and they have to do it. But you see, there's a greater responsibility. Because you are responding, you are under a higher authority that is watching all these things. Here is King David in Second Samuel chapter 24. Something came upon David and he wanted to do, and he commanded the people and said, here they said in verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Well, a king should be able to say that, but God has reasons why some things should be done and why some things should not be done. And King David said it to Joab, the captain of the host, which was, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. So David wanted to conduct a census of this country. And he said, okay, let's go do it. And the captain of the host said, well, why do we need to do this? But because he's the king, he wanted his authority to be done, and they have to do it. But the Bible said something else was moving David. And that is all I'm trying to point out in this story. It's the word of his mouth, yeah, but who put this word in his mouth? Who put this idea in his head that make him to say it? And they're trying to say, no, we don't want to do it. He insisted, and they did. And we know the rest of the story, that there was a plague in the land because of that census. In 3 days, thousands were dead because God said, well, you have done something that is not right. You may say, why would God say, David, go do it, and then God punish him? Now, if you go to the other section, the Bible says it's Satan that rose up against Israel and make David do that. So, in 2 Samuel, it was saying it was God. But when we go to Chronicles, of the same story, it says it was Satan that stood up against Israel. So, what I'm saying in that story is, we do not know the force sometimes that is moving us. And then you should just be careful and fear God, tremble at his word, and then gag your mouth. Praise the Lord. Let us gag our mouth, because life and death, they are in the power of the tongue. 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's the story of another man, not a ruler, but in his own house. Verse 10 to 11, I'll just point to this. He also speaks some things that put him in trouble. First Samuel chapter 25, I'm going to run along quickly. In verse 10 and 11 here, this is the story of a rich man, Nabal. I'm just going to point to how what he was feeling, how he felt about the situation around him, made him speak like this. And it almost destroyed him and his whole household because of what he said. The power of our tongue. Let's watch it. Verse 10 of chapter 25. 1 Samuel. This was the time when David became, before he became king, he was running on in the jungles, hiding from King Saul. And then because him and his friends and about 600 soldiers with him that were hiding, they were like what you call fugitives. So they were fugitives from the real government. So anybody knows that in any country where there are fugitives and there are almost like political division in the country, some people will side with the king, some will side with the rebels. Let's call them rebels. Like American government, we always call those other countries where we have those we call themselves freedom fighters. While the people that supported the king, the current government, we call them rebels. Okay, but this is what was going on in Israel. So David would be classified as rebels, so hiding in the jungle with about 600 soldiers. But the current king, King Saul, with his soldiers were looking for David. So you can see that the country will be, some will support the king, mostly the older people, while some, they like the new man that was trying to be, that they call rebels. So that was the political mindset that was going on when David sent his servants to this rich man to get some food. So you can read between the lines that rich man was one of them perhaps that supported the king. And he responded to David's men very harshly. In verse 10, after they came to the king, to David, to this neighbor, David's young man came and asked him that, hey, David said, well, we heard that you're having a party. Can you give us some of this food? And Nabal answered him in verse 10. and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have kept for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" In short, he just lambasted them, tell them to get lost. And what he said there was his tongue, the word of his mouth. He just put danger upon his life because David was so angry. He came with those 400 soldiers to come and destroy this man and all his cattle and all his goods. And they get their soldiers. They were soldiers. And they were ready to come and kill him and his family and all that he has that day because of the power of his mouth. So that is an example of why we have to wash over our mouth. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. The Lord, I'm saying this word of our mouth is much more serious than just claiming blessings, which is when you speak positive, you get some blessings. But you be watchful because you don't want to put snares upon our head. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Lord gave us some warnings here in chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Solomon said, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil." Now praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the word of God. The word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he calls being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Now, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want you to pray, to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me on the cross. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce all ungodliness. And I renounce all witchcraft and evil powers. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Come and take over my life, Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me with your blood. From now on, I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for making me your child. Amen." Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the word of God, to begin to read the scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you. Write to Evangelist Julius Ade.
Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
If you have access to the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistributionministry.com. gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell that one out, gospeldistribution.org. Gospel distribution is one word. www.gospeldistribution.org. And you can send us email on the internet. Our email address is webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. And you can also read all our literature on the internet freely. God bless you, and see you, we see you again next time. In Jesus' name.